had compassion on me. He touched my eyes, and now I see. He healed my feet, and now I walk in His way. He had compassion on me, and from sin He set me free. Oh, praise the Lord, He had compassion. My eyes, and now I see. He healed my feet, and now I walk in His way. He had compassion on me, and from sin He set me free. Oh, praise the Lord, He had compassion.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
He put a light down in the valley so that we might see the way. He holds our hand and He guides us till we come to the perfect day.
To us He gave a promise, the most wondrous ever made. A home to dwell in through eternity.
He put a light down in the valley so that we might see the way. He holds our hand and He guides us till we come to the perfect day. To us He gave a promise, the most wondrous ever made. A home to dwell in through eternity. He put a light down in the valley so that we might see the way. He holds our hand and He guides us till we come to the perfect day. To us He gave a promise, the most wondrous ever made. A home to dwell in through eternity. We put a light down in the valley so that we might see the way. He holds our hand and He guides us till we come to the perfect day. To us He gave a promise, the most wondrous ever made. A home to dwell in through eternity. He put a light down in the valley so that we might see the way. He holds our hand and guides us till we come to the perfect day. To us He gave a promise, the most wondrous ever made. A home to dwell in through eternity. He put a light down in the valley so that we might see the way. He holds our hand and guides us till we come to the perfect day. To us He gave a promise, the most wondrous ever made. Well, a home to dwell in through eternity. He put a light down in the valley so that we might see the way. Oh, He holds our hand and guides us till we come to a perfect day. To us He gave a promise, the most wondrous ever made. A home to dwell in through eternity. He put a light down in the valley so that we might see. He holds our hand and guides us till we come to the perfect day. Well, to us He gave a promise, the most wondrous ever made. Well, a home to dwell in through eternity. Yes, He put a light down in the valley so that we might see the way.
He holds our hand and He guides us till we come to the perfect day.
To us He gave a promise,
the most wondrous ever made. Well, a home to dwell in through eternity. Yet He put a light down in the valley so that we might see the way.
He holds our hand and guides us till we come to a perfect day.
To us He gave a promise, oh, wondrous ever made. Yes, Lord,
a home to dwell in through eternity.
He put a light down in the valley,
He holds our hand and guides us till we come to the perfect day.
Oh, to us He gave a promise, the most wondrous ever made.
Well, a home to dwell in through eternity.
He put a light down in the valley so that we might see the way.
He holds our hand and He guides us till we come to the perfect day.
Well, to us He gave a promise, the most wondrous ever made.
A home to dwell in through eternity.
He put a light down in the valley.
He holds our hand and guides us till we come to a perfect day. To us He gave a promise, the most wondrous ever made.
A home to dwell in through eternity.
come to the perfect day. To us he gave a promise the most wondrous ever made, a home to dwell in through eternity.
Glory, thank you, Lord. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Woo, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Well, Jesus, I'll never forget, oh, how you set me free. Well, Jesus, I'll never forget, oh, how you brought me out. Well, Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Oh, yes, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Well, Jesus, I'll never forget just how you set me free. Well, Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Well, Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Well, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Well, Jesus, I'll never forget just how you set me free. And Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Well, Jesus, I'll never forget, oh, no, never. Well, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Well, Jesus, I'll never forget just how you set me free. And Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Well, Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Well, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Well, Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. And Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Well, Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Well, Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. And Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Well, Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Oh, and Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, oh, never. Oh, and Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, oh, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Woo! Glory. Woo! Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory.
Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
blessed be your name. I don't want to forget what God has done. Don't let me forget. He's brought me from a long ways, and how can I forget what the Lord has done? I mean, if God done anything for your life, then it should be quite an impression on us to the point where we will not forget his goodness. He was talking about his promises and what he's promised us, and you can count on it. What God promised, there. I find that that what God has said and promised, and what He has done, you can't gainsay it if it's God. If you ever been touched by the Lord, then there's no question about it. So I'm just so thankful tonight that we are here once again in the house of God and be able to lift our voices and these praises unto God, and realizing, you know, it is He that is sustaining us and giving us life. And I want to recognize that. I want to always know that where my source of life comes from, and always have a heart that's thankful for what God is doing. And around a people that are searching for the Lord in a greater way, you know, not just feel like we're got it all sewed up and got all the answers and got our bags packed. We don't want to ever have that attitude. We want to always be reaching out to the Lord for what God has, because we know that He has more. But Leninger said that he had traded everything he know for what he don't know about the Lord, because he realized that he know a lot, but compared to what God knows, you know, it's not much. So we know that we are just tapping into the things of God, and we want to always remember, you know, that you know, at our extremities, you know, His opportunities. We run out of strength, and we run out of ideas, and run out of things to do. But there's no limit on God. So I want to tap in on His source, His resources, and I realize that I can. If I begin to line my life up with Him and begin to get my thoughts like His thoughts, which the Bible already says our thoughts are not like His thoughts, and our ways are not like His ways. His ways and His thoughts are higher than ours. And if begin to elevate our minds to begin to reach out more to the Lord and to begin to meditate on the things. Sometimes you have to gird up your mind. You have to begin to bring things in to begin to think about the goodness of God and what He's doing for us. So it's good to be here tonight and to begin to come in here and worship. This is a house of worship. We're here to worship God. We're not just here to meet once a week here in the midweek, but we're here to worship God. We're in God's house, so we're here to meet Him. You know, and when you do that, you know, you may not altogether know what God will have. We're not on a program or a outline as to what we want God to do tonight. But we want to come open to the Lord and let Him do what He wants to do. All we want to do is present ourselves unto the Lord and let Him set the table. Let Him speak to us how He wants to speak to us. But I want to have ears, like Brother Smith said during the meeting. I want to have my ears on to be able to hear what God is saying. I want to have my heart open to Him, to where if God want to speak, I want to hear Him. Lord, help me to be able to hear, be sensitive enough to Your Spirit to be able to hear You when You speak. So it's good to be here. We have company. We got some young folks from Russellville, Arkansas. How about that? Good to have them tonight. God bless you. On a Wednesday night. You know, so in that they're making a sacrifice to be here with us tonight. So it's good that they considered Little Rock tonight. We need you. Thank you. We got a brother here from, I think he's local, Alvin Robinson. Is that right? Little Robinson, good to Good to have you here tonight. Maybe first time being here, I don't know. But appreciate you being here, Brother Robinson. We're people that seek the Lord. We're searching for the Lord. We don't call ourselves Berean Christians, but we think like them. You know, Paul considered them noble because they searched the scriptures. I'm sure you heard about that. And we're searching the scriptures, you know, to see if these things be so, you know, that we're hearing about God. We want to hear more about the Lord because we know that, like I say, we don't want to have it all sold up to where it's going to happen like this or like we think it is. But we know it's going to happen like God plans it, like he's already ordained things to happen. We know that's where it's going to happen. So we're just trying to fit in God's plan. You know, we don't have our own plan, our own agenda to you know, you can find people saying, well, this is where it's going to be. You know, this is how it's going to end up, you know. We've heard message after message, you know, some end time message, you have to watch it. If you ever put a date on a prophecy, it'll come to pass. You know, I might not live to see it come to pass, but if you ever put a date on it, it'll come to pass. We've seen people do that, put dates on it, saying that when Jesus is going to come, you know, a certain time, a certain year, it'll come to pass. You know, so whatever we say, we want it to be right, don't we? We want it, we want it to align up with the Lord because we know God has a plan and it's going to happen just like he planned it. You know, and I might not be able to figure it out, but it's going to happen just like God planned it. I mean, and he doesn't always use the chronological dates that we're so familiar with. He may use events. I know Jesus talked to his disciples and told them he was kind of letting them watch the nation, you know, he used natural things, fig trees and seasons and things like that to nations. You know, we know that Israel is one of the timepieces God uses, and we watch them and watch what's happening to them and what has happened to them. And but we don't, you know, want to just have it all sold up in an idea that it's going to be this way. But we know things are going to happen that God has promised, and what he has said in his word is going to happen just like he said. And sometime Jesus talked to his disciples, and he was talking in parables. He talked that way, and they said I think he said that the reason he did that is because some of the things that God have they're hidden from some people. You know, people that really didn't appreciate it in the first place or didn't love God enough to, and he just talked to them in parables because he said that these things are hidden from the wise and prudent, but they're revealed unto babes. And those are people that are humble themselves. You know, that if you're humble enough to be able to say you don't know and you want God to help you to know, to show you, then, you know, that takes some humility to admit that you don't know, and to ask God to help you, to show you, you know, what does he mean by this? You know, what does he mean by these words? And sometimes Jesus took his disciples aside and explained to them a little bit more about what he meant by what he said. You know, he said it, but then there was a deeper meaning to what he was saying. So that's why we search the Lord, why we reach out to him and his word, because we want to know what God is saying. We want to know what it means, you know, to what God's word is saying. Because a lot of things, we read the Bible, read Revelations, and some of those statements are made are symbolic. They have a symbolic meaning, but you have to know what. But they do mean something, you know. But they might not mean exactly the way it's said, you know, how it's stated. So anyway, let's reach out to the Lord tonight and remember there are a lot. Brother Mike said there are several people that are sick tonight, and I don't mind that they have all of the information, Sister brother. Smith. Sister Smith is first of all.
Andrew, Brother Stewart, Sister Hutchinson is in the hospital.
Okay. I don't know if y'all can hear Brother Mike.
The Dodson family.
Sister Hutchinson is in the hospital. first of all. And maybe Brother Mike was saying about talking about it earlier. He was saying that they thought, was thinking that she may have had swine flu, and they was kind of isolating her for a little bit, but they ruled that out, so she doesn't have swine flu. But anyway, she got flu-like symptoms.
And then
the Dotson family.
Brother Stewart.
Brother Stewart. Wow. I just remember the antibiotics, okay. Remember Brother Fred Stewart, he worked hard last week. And he outworked me, but anyway. Not saying a lot.
There's the sister
Remember Sister Jackie Tucker. He said she's taking these tests and that she's not sure about the results of them yet, but taking more tests. Remember her, Brother Fisher. Okay. That's one of the grandchildren? Okay. Youngest one. Oh, okay. Remember them. Felisa? What'd you say? Lisa. Okay. I don't know if y'all heard all the first one Brother Mike mentioned. Sister Brenda's, Sister Cindy Smith, Sister Smith, and Brother Smith, they expecting a litter. So he's preoccupied. So anyway, I don't want to miss anybody. But anyway, let's have some hands. All right, Brother Stan, Sister Wilkins, Sister Rattler. All right, remember Sister Rattler's family, Sister. What? At work? Okay. All right, remember. Yeah, Sister. Well, okay. Well, Sister Oaks. Sylvia King. All right, remember Sister Oaks Ann. Sister Ann. Remember that, Shirley and Paul. All right, Brother Matt. Looking. Okay, all right, Brother Matt and Reuben. Yes, that's Vivian. Yes. Aunt Jo? Joni. All right, remember her aunt. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay. Joanne, all right. Remember that. All right, Sister Abraham. All right, remember. Sister Abraham family. Slice. Her boss's mother. Okay. See, Brother Daniel's left a note up here too. He's having to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to work, so he wants to be excused tonight. All right. Anybody else? Any other requests? Just remember now, we're going to pray, but we want to. I know you're probably not going to remember every one of these needs, but we got outstanding needs on the view up there, but. Think of, like Sister Brenda's in the hospital, there's these cancer situations here, Sister Ann mentioned, and, you know, there's very serious, I think of Brother Tenney, I know we prayed for him, and they prayed for him during the youth meeting. I hadn't, you heard anything on him, Brother Mike? Okay. But anyway, these are serious needs, and let's think about, you know, these different requests, spoken and unspoken. I know I like to say we know God knows all about it, and our mind, you know, we want to be thinking with a prayerful mind, you know, the attitude of coming before God and with our needs, and knowing that God care about us. And we want to have care in our hearts, you know, for our loved ones and our brothers and sisters. And we want to, you know, have our hearts reaching out to God. You know, if I begin to, you know, we can touch God in a way that, you know, I mean, because we know he knows about this. But somehow God made it where he want us to reach out. You know, he could do everything, but he want us, you know, to be able to, so he know our hearts. You know, we don't always know, like Jeremiah said, you know, God knows our heart. You know, the heart is being deceitful and desperately wicked and all that. But God knows our heart. You know, we begin to reach out to God, you know, not just for ourselves, but for our brothers and sisters, their needs. You know, esteem our brother higher than, you know, more than ourselves. You know, we want to lift them up, have a concern. So let's think about these needs tonight and think about God's people. We are Sister Crow. Yes. Praise the Lord. Well, good. Good news. Good news. Of course, you heard the news about Wichita when the young folk went home. Saturday night, and they was shouting around the church ground, out there on the church ground when they got there. I mean, they were shouting before they got to church. But anyway, they finished up out there when they got to the church. They was all just elated and in the spirit. So, you know, let this carry on. Yes, ma'am. That's way. That's right. That's the way it ought to be. Go ahead, brother. But anyway, let's all stand and take these needs to the Lord. Blessed be your holy name, O God. Thank you, Lord. Merciful God, we come before you tonight, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to reach out to you.
Praise the Lord.
Lord, help your people tonight. Lord, help your Lord. Lord, help each of you. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus, Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. Oh, bless you. glorious name, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, hallelujah, Lord. Merciful God, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, all these conditions, please. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your holy name.
Hallelujah.
Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Yes. Yes, Lord.
Praise God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Merciful God.
Oh, God.
Oh my God, can do it.
Back to that theme. I feel something in that theme. A message we got from God, delivered from Sister Krista, that God can do anything and make out of anything. And every time I went back and watched that a couple times, and every time I feel it, I just get a feeling come all over me. Oh, God. You know, I was sitting here. I appreciate Sister Thompson and her request. It was to pray for her son and daughter and all. Was that right? Did I get their son and daughter? But I just prayed for her children. Because your in-laws come, your children anyway. But when you, I ask if you want me to pray for you, I ask you to do this one thing for me. Tell me your request. I like to go to God specifically for a specific thing, and not be guessing what you need, or not brought, just ask God generally to do something for you, but to specifically do something for you. And I was feeling while we were praying that I just feel like in this, you know, we were singing that song, God can do anything. Anything. And I just have this feeling, and it may be a little hard for me to explain, that we got to quit relying on the tactics of man and our mind to accomplish things that we want to do, whether it's get a job or sell a car or buy a house or sell a house. But to seek God, I think he wants to prove to us that he can do anything. And I've been through a trial this year. And I didn't know why. But the Lord's starting to show me, look, I can just make things happen for you if you'll trust me. And because the world's going to be saved. We're going to be saved by our testimony, but we're going to save the world with our testimony. We'll say, look what God done for me. And faith will rise up in our hearts and say, you know, I don't know if I believe that or not. That wouldn't be faith, but the ones who the Lord draws them. That's how I prayed for her children. I said, God, would you by your spirit draw them to your son? Because that's what the Bible says, no man cometh to me except the spirit of my father draws him. Lord, would you send your spirit down and start drawing them to your son? I got a test. I want to get back to what I was saying, but my niece, and I hadn't had a chance to talk to the other part of the family that came, but the niece who came with the Dallas church, Jessica, she went home and wrote a song. And she's feeling God and feeling good. And I just, you know, she doesn't get to come around as much, but I, because distance and time, but that, and my wife has been a prayer warrior praying for years for her family, because her father and mother forsook everything to come this way. She said, my wife grills and drills her mother about how they came to God. Mother-in-law was raised Catholic, and all she knew was the sacraments and the all the things that you go through, but never had a relationship with God. And my father-in-law was just an ungodly sinner, didn't know anything about God. And they were married, and her my wife's grandmother and started going to a church, and was going to a Body of Christ church in Arizona, and she kept trying to get them to come, and kept trying to get them to come, and finally my father-in-law went, and he got something. He got the Holy Ghost. And my mother-in-law's testimony was, I was asleep in bed and all the lights were off. But when he walked into that room after he got the Holy Ghost, something, I knew he was a different man. I knew he was different. And I knew I had to go find out what that was, because he was a rounder. He was a sinner. He was a no good guy in Adam, in the flesh. But when God got a hold of him, mother-in-law said, I felt something, his whole presence, his whole countenance changed. And that's what the Holy Ghost would do, you know. She found out God could do anything. And they moved to Fort Worth, Texas. They was making a choice. We want to take our kids and get them to a church that's got a church school. There's two churches they were looking at. Oklahoma City at that time had a church school, and Fort Worth had a church school. So they packed up and left and moved to Fort Worth. They wanted their family to be raised in an atmosphere that served God. And appreciate having y'all from Russellville, by the way. I got a good feeling to the Richies. When we came to the body, we used to go to Wilburton all the time. That's where my dad, Brother Suttler, introduced Dad to the body, our family, the body of Christ. And the other people who showed up there all the time to help Brother Suttler get that work started with Brother Don Ritchie. And on September the 3rd or 4th, the same night, me, Sister Yvonne York, and Sean, we got the Holy Ghost together. They got a picture. Me and Sean got the Holy Ghost the same night. And I love him. And I always send a word back to him that I'm thinking about him. And when they lived in Cisco, Texas, Lynn and Zoe, Brother Lynn, Sister Zoe, they were the newlywed couples there. I don't know if you was you born down there? No, you weren't born until you came up here. They was the newlywed couples, and I was one of them young couples up there. And I used to go and stay with Brother and Sister Richie and Sean in their home, and I had a good time, and they developed a love in my heart for them. And I've got a special place, and I see y'all growed up, and I think of all the goodness that God's done in our life with the Richies. And the good church that y'all have got going there in Russellville. And I'm glad y'all must be feeling good from the meeting. Come on, drive down here on a Wednesday night. On Wednesday night, is that 2 hours over there? Hour and a half? Hour and a half. Got to hurry up, get home from work. Let me tell you something. Got to get home from work and shower and get our church clothes on and drive to Little Rock to be in church tonight. And that Sister York gave that testimony. That was par for the course for us 20 years ago. We'd come home from work. We didn't have it. We just started a church. And there was just a few of us. And we'd load up and go to Cisco on a Thursday night. They had Thursdays and Saturday service. And we'd come home and get up and go to Abilene on Friday night. And maybe that same week we'd hit Cisco, Abilene, Saturday night, go to Fort Worth. And we'd have a time in God on the way back home. Those days were precious days. It planted us deep in the body of Christ. And I appreciate us doing it. The world don't understand that. Even people that go to church don't understand. What do you mean you drove to Little Rock to church? We got churches all over town. Yeah, but you don't know the feeling we feel when we're down there. We got a kindred spirit. And something happened this last week, and I don't want to lose that feeling. But God, what I was thinking is God wants us to trust Him and not rely on the ways of man. And He proved it over and over and over to His people in the Old Testament. He told Gideon, you know, he said, I want you to thin things down. I know you're going up against a great big army, but I don't want all these guys you've got. So he started weeding them out. Then he told them how to beat them in a such an unorthodox way. Just come shouting out of the mountain, beating a pitcher and lighting them everywhere, and it confused everybody so much they started killing each other. And they won a great battle. He told Noah to build an ark out of gopher wood. He said, but gopher wood don't float. He said, wait till if I tell you to build it, it'll float. I still believe what I told y'all about faith. You can only have true faith in something that God said. It's not just a belief that, oh, I think God will do this for me. But if God spoke to your heart to do this and you believe him, that's true faith. I'm asking God, Lord, I'm waiting to hear from you about things. Lord, I've got a home to sell in Missouri. I could keep dropping the price. I could keep changing real estate companies. I can do all these things that they tell you to do. We can watch Home and Garden, and we can go up there and do all the things they say to fix up your home. Or we can wait on you, and you can do something miraculous. We could have somebody call me tomorrow and say, we will give you full asking price. You don't have to do anything. I've done business. I've started businesses. I've had successful business. And I used to try all these things that they tell you to do in the seminars. But you know what? It all come down to me. I tell people, I say, oh, you successful businessman. No, I'm pretty much a dummy. God done it all. Because everything I tried myself to do always failed. Everything, only thing I have is what God blessed me. God wants us to rely on him. I appreciate Sister Oates. She said, me and Brother Oates fasted 3 days. And after we ended our fast, we sold our house. It's trusting in God, the power of God. I don't know if I got it 100% right, but it was something like that. I know you trust in God. You wouldn't rely on us. They weren't sitting there plotting and planning on how we can get this house sold. We got to go put this in, do that, to make it more attractive. But know that we're going to ask God to do it in a supernatural way so he can prove to us that we can have a testimony to give that he can do anything with anything. He can do anything with anything. Which Brother Smith said, that means he pretty much nothing. He started with nothing. And that's amazing because any mathematician will tell you learn it right at the beginning. Nothing plus nothing equals nothing. Nothing times nothing times anything. Zero times a million is zero. But when God gets done with nothing, it's a whole universe. An amazing place. So I've had a friend been telling me this for years. You know, he'd say, he blew my mind because he felt like God, they lived in a bad neighborhood and they had their house paid for. And they knew they really needed to get out of that neighborhood. He's the guy who that Brother Smith told y'all about the King James Bible, same guy. And Brother Mike Tucker. And everybody thought he was crazy because he was the only one that still lived over there by the old Fort Worth church. And it was that neighbor who was becoming decrepit. And I mean, one night he got a call and a man was trying to kick his door in with his wife screaming, and he wasn't backing down. He was still trying to break in the house. It was a real rough neighborhood. And that's how bad that neighborhood is. And so he said, but God, he had it for sale, and it wouldn't sell. And he said he felt like God told him, don't do anything. I'm going to do something miraculous. I will do so. If you'll wait on me, I will do something miraculous with your home and with it sold. And you'll be able to buy a home miraculously. He said, but they found a real good deal on a house and bought it. And they without selling their home. And I asked him, have you sold your home? Have you sold your home? No. He said, and I'll tell you what, we're not going to sell it. He said, because I disobeyed God. God told me, but all I had to listen to all the morons around me telling me something else. They tell me, you need to get out of Northside. You need to get out of Northside. This home's a good deal for you. You need to get out of Northside. And now we're having to stay in two different places because we leave that place. I know it'll be ransacked and broke into and everything else. We can't leave the other place unattended. And it took them 3 years to sell their home. 3 or 4, I don't know how long they had. But he told me, he said, I disobeyed God. And he said, I'm kicking myself every day for disobeying God. Well, I want to have a heart like that. If God tells me and deals with me, I want to do something supernatural for you. Live upright before me and listen to me. Now, something Sister Krista said, she said, he said to us, listen. Listen. Brother Smith had been telling us earlier that day, do you have your ears on? Get your ears on. God wants to do things specifically for us if we'll let him. I don't know. I feel so good. I love that scripture. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord and forget not his benefits. That's what happens sometimes. We forget benefits. I get, you know, sometimes... I had somebody told me the other day, he said, Brother Michael, you don't know how blessed you are. I used to have a man tell me, Michael, that he lived in a $500,000 place, real nice in Missouri, made real good money, more than I've ever made, was able to send his kids to the finest colleges. And he told me, I was living over there in a double-wide trailer with a broken down van. He said, Michael, you're one of the richest men that I know. And I knew what he was saying, because he was striving every day to keep what he had, and I had peace. Now, I know people who have a lot and they have peace. I know people who have very little have peace. Paul said, I abound, I've been abased, and I've abounded. And I have found in any state that I am, I have been content. Being content in God. You know why? Because that's because I'm in God's will. And he's taking me where I'm going. If I got anything I say to you young people coming from Russellville, never ever quit. No matter how tough it gets, and the road does get tough from time to time, usually because we turn our eye off the goal, get it off the goal sometimes. But sometimes God wants to try us. He wants to test us. He wants to prove us. Now, I'm gonna tell you, there's times I've made a lot of mistakes. I've done stupid things I shouldn't have done. I never quit church. Sometimes I felt like I had no business sitting up on the platform or even being called to the minister, even sitting even in the back door. By the back door, and had 1 foot in the church and 1 foot in the world. But something said, don't quit. You can't quit. Of course, I felt a real sense of responsibility. I had a family real young. I said, I can't take my children. If it was just me, I'd be gone out of here. I can't drag my kids out in the world. I can't do that. I can't take my wife through that. No matter, it was getting tough on me. But I had a sweet wife praying for me. And there was times when she struggled and I was there for her. But I never quit. I never got out. There may have been time in my life that I was not really there, but there. But I'm glad I never was gone, completely gone. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying it did something for me. I didn't have to go completely into completely give 100% over. There was still something happened to me. I remember one time I was going through one of the roughest times in my life. I didn't know what I was thinking. And my wife was worried sick about me. And she went to a meeting, and a brother told my wife, he said, I had a vision. She said, what is it? She said, I was sitting there, and I looked out, and I seen you, and I had a vision of Brother Michael's, and behind a veil came a big angry hand, and it just reached out there and grabbed me and just brought him back in behind the veil like that. And he said, the hand was angry. I'm glad the hand of God reached out. When I was on my last leg and forced me back in. God can be angry with us sometimes, but it's love. You know, I've been so mad at my children. The worst is when I was really, really worried about them. And I was seeing that they were making huge monumental mistakes that could cost them. And they seen my anger. And it was salvation to them at the time. Rachel, you know. She knows one time she probably felt it worse than any of them. But it was exactly what she needed at the time. God says he chastens those whom he loves. Anyway, we've got visitors here. I want to let you give y'all. Y'all might have a song. Pastor, if you have a word for us, if you want to give us tonight, the pulpit's open to you. You're welcome to come up and say something. Anyway, we'll just welcome all y'all here. Bless God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Again, tonight was a very unique night for me. I work at this place called Cameron Vow. I want to, first of all, give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not nervous, but I passed by here, and I got off early. I normally wouldn't be off. I get off at 11:30, and I said, Lord, you know, I've been going through some things as a young pastor. I'm a pastor 3 years young, and I started a church in Pine Bluff from scratch, and we were non-denominational. And I passed by here, and I saw the sign, non-denominational. And I hadn't been to a church in a midweek in probably, I know, over a year because of the company I work for. But I've been going through some things as a young pastor, and I feel like some of the things that he shared, and right now is real hard. And sometimes, you know, you do feel like giving up. And I've given my life to God, and I have a wife and two children. And, you know, I told the Lord I really want him to use me in an awesome way. And in the process of him doing that, it's a great price that has come with it. Because the things you all was sharing here and what I've enjoyed is